And so the name of our center here, Living Beyond Limits, I think speaks to something very deep inside of each one of us, something within us that knows that we can step beyond our limitations, that we can step beyond limitations of the past, that we can step beyond limitations of our upbringing and of what society tells us who we are and what is possible. We can step past those old ideas that we were raised with about what was possible, old ideas and beliefs of all different sorts we can step beyond. Especially, I think, limiting beliefs about who we are and what we're capable of. Past and current beliefs and concepts. And so when we came up with this name, Living Beyond Limits, really that's what it was all about. That name stands for us stepping beyond our self-imposed limitations. Because those limitations that we hold are really just things of thinking. They are really just thinking ways in our minds and beliefs that we have. So it was about stepping beyond our self-imposed limitations, stepping beyond any ideas that keep us small, and that keep us stuck, and that keep us from living the life of our dreams and the life that we want to live, and from living the fullness of ourselves. And so it was about stepping beyond that small self and those limited ideas and stepping beyond our ego identification and stepping into an infinite realm, stepping into that realm of the divine where all possibilities exist. Because as spiritual beings, and because we are incarnations of that infinite one, we are never limited. We are never limited by our past. We are never limited by what we've done. We are never limited by what we have believed in the past or what we've experienced, those ideas and beliefs. In fact, we, each and every single one of you, were designed for success and designed for to prosper and to expand and to grow and to ever become more and more of who you are in potential. We're designed for progress and designed for unfolding. And so I read about a man this week online that I'd love to share with you. His name is David Goggins. And it says David Goggins is memorable for many reasons. His endurance exploits are legendary. In 2013, he won the 24-hour pull-up record for the world by doing 4,025 pull-ups in 17 hours. He did a bad water run in 2013 that was a 135-mile run that took him 32 hours and 44 minutes to do. Can you imagine running for 32 hours? In 2008, McNaughton Park 150-mile run, he was the first overall in 33 hours. He won the Kona Ironman World Championship. He did a Gold Rush 48-hour run that was 203 miles and the Ultraman World Championship of second overall. He also completed countless other endurance races. However, there is much more to David Goggins than his endurance accomplishments that captivate the imagination. One, his size. He's over 6 feet tall and muscular. His background, 13 years in the military, most of it as a Navy SEAL. His work ethic, waking up at 3 a.m. and running 20 miles every day, and then biking to work 25 miles each way to his full-time job in the Navy. And most interesting of all is the obstacles that he has overcome in this process. He has asthma. He has sickle cell anemia. He suffered severe psychological and physical abuse as a kid. He barely graduated high school with a 1.6 GPA. He was obese, 100 pounds overweight, and got fit to join the Navy, to join the Navy SEALs. He suffered from an undiagnosed congenital heart defect, a hole in his heart, meaning his heart was only capable of functioning at 75% capacity, and he since has had surgery to repair that. Is that amazing? Is that overcoming some obstacles? You know, Emmett Fox, who was a Unity minister, says, there is no reality in lack. there is no power in time or conditions to make us old or tired or sick. The new thought movement, of which we are a part, comes to us and says, you are not locked in a prison of circumstances. You are not chained in any dungeon. In the name of God, turn the handle and walk out and be free. Build a mental equivalent of freedom, of vibrant health, of true prosperity, of increasing understanding and achievement. Build it by thinking of it, by having faith in it, and acting the part. And the old limitation equivalent will gradually fade out, for the door is unlocked, and the voice of God in your heart says, be free. The limitations that we experience are things of thought, and they are based on our beliefs, and they're based on our childhood, and based on what we've been told by those authority figures in our life. They're based on the stories that we tell ourselves. They are things of belief. And so Deepak Chopra says we live in what he calls a field of pure potential. And quantum physics tells us that at the quantum level, everything is waves of possibility, where everything is possible simultaneously at the same time until we choose, which collapses those waves of possibility into actuality. But before that choice, everything is possible. Ernest Holmes says, we think into a universal mind of limitless possibility. So we live in this infinite, boundless realm, and our thinking and our choices and our beliefs and our stories are the thing that determines what it is that we experience. The title of my talk today is Fact or Fiction, and I'm talking about how we tell ourselves those stories. We tell ourselves the stories that we are limited, that we are somehow not enough, that we are broken, that something is wrong with us, that our families didn't do this or didn't have that, therefore we will never have it, or that we're too old. We tell ourselves that we're sick and that we can't get better. We tell ourselves that we are undeserving and that we are unlovable, that we are not enough. And what happens, the problem is we hold those stories as facts. When in truth, they are not facts, they are fiction. They are stories that we have adopted and or made up, but they aren't the truth. They've been created out of a limited perspective, out of the perspective of our history, out of the perspective of what we've been told, but it's a limited perspective. It's not this spiritual perspective of limitlessness. And so I read about an experiment this week. An experiment was conducted by a sixth grade teacher in the presence of his students. He placed small flies in a large bottle. Then he placed a very transparent glass screen on the top of the jars so the flies could see out to the open sky and the regions beyond the lid of the bottle. But, ooh, God's calling. I think that might be my phone, actually. Wow. I will go on. So the flies could see the open sky and could see out of the bottle beyond the lid, but not know about the screen or see the screen. And so what happened during the school year, they could watch the flies fly up to the top of the jar, and of course they'd hit the screen and they'd fall back. This went on for week after week and month after month. And because of the very short lifespan of the flies, generation after generation were born in that bottle. But during the last week, the teacher removed the screen. The flies would then fly up to where they were even with the rim of the jar, where the screen had previously been, and fall back down even though the screen had been removed. Although this experiment was conducted during only one school year, the flies went through many generations with only one year because of their short lifespans. And in those few generations, succeeding generations had observed their fathers and mothers and had determined that it was impossible for them to go above the top of that jar. However, during the last 2 weeks of the year, a few flies reached the rim of the jar and would just crawl around the edge. And then one or two might try to fly away, but the rest would simply stay below the rim of the jar at the level they were accustomed to. The flies that flew beyond the top of the jar knew there was something higher, that there was something beyond the top of that jar, and they simply refused to accept the limitations communicated to them by the failures of the preceding generations. We do that. We adopt those beliefs and think that they are our limitations. I saw that in my own life. My dogs, when I was growing up, we had a huge garden, and my dad built a fence that was made out of 2x4s with one like this high and one here, and I had chicken wire between it that went around the whole garden. And after a couple years, the chicken wire was bent and kind of started falling apart, and it got taken off. The dogs never tried to go in that garden. In their mind, it was impossible to get through that. And so it behooves us to look at those ideas that we've adopted and to really see, are they fact or are they fiction? Because our perspective creates what we think is possible. And what happened with those flies and what happened with the dogs is they took their reality and their perspective from simply the material world. They believed what had happened and what they had seen was real, and that was only possible, and that's what we do. We tell ourselves that's what real and that is what's possible. But what happens is we are informing ourselves from the outside in instead of the inside out. We are informing ourselves about the truth of reality, but that's backwards looking from the outside in. Because spirit is not bound by precedent. Spirit is not bound by anything that has happened before. And we are here as spirit in expression. And we are here, spirit expressing through us as this life that we are living, incarnations of that one. All is possible in that presence. There are no limitations. It's kind of like looking at a crack through the wall. And when you look through a crack, you can't see everything that's out here. You just see part of the picture. But if you're looking through the crack and you think that's the whole thing, it's a limited perspective. And it limits what you're able to see. It's not the whole picture. We're only seeing part of the picture. And when we only see part of the picture, when we look at life through that eyes of our history and what we've learned and what we've been told, is it makes us live small. It creates limitations for us because we're believing the story. In those moments, we have forgotten that we are one with that infinite presence. We have forgotten that we are here living that life, here as that one in expression. So we tell ourselves we are less than this fantastic life of God, but we're telling ourselves what we are seeing through the crack. And when we do that, we set up roadblocks for ourselves, roadblocks between us and the job that we want, roadblocks between us and the wonderful relationship that we want, roadblocks between us and our vibrant health or our abundance, all based on those beliefs. I was watching the Winter Olympics last time they were on, and they did, you know how they do little short stories in between the events? And they were telling a story and doing one of those things about the history of women's ice skating. And so in the early years, is all they did for ice skating was figure skating for women. It was the only event in ice skating for women. And it was judged on beauty and form and appearance. There was nothing in it based on athleticism. That was not a factor. And it was actually believed at that time that women could only do one rotation in a spin. That's what they believed they were capable of, and that's all that was possible. Is that ridiculous? Today we see these ice skaters doing triple axels and spinning 3.5 times and doing a salchow where they spin 4 times in the air. But it took a change in consciousness to step outside of what they thought was possible. It took a change in consciousness, and now we see them doing snowboarding and downhill slalom and the bobsled. And did you see last year those women skiing backwards off of those jumps and doing flips and jumps backwards? Wow, that's some expansion since women started ice skating the Olympics. But it took that change in consciousness, reaching out into that untapped potential that was always inside of them. It's not like that potential wasn't there. It was always inside of them, but it took discovering it. It took uncovering it. It took accessing it. But we have to have the change in our thinking before we even try to access it. Then we reach out into that untapped potential. That potential was always present, like electricity has always been present. You know, Benjamin Franklin did not create electricity, and he didn't even discover electricity. What he did was he proved that electricity was available to use. We all know that story of him going out into a lightning storm with a kite and a string with a key on it. And he's famous for that. He proved that electricity is available. Like Benjamin Franklin, we prove that boundless potential is available by accessing it, by reaching out, by opening ourselves and availing ourselves to it. Benjamin Franklin availed himself to the idea that electricity is present and available for our use by being present to it, by showing up for it, by saying yes. That's how we access the potential of the universe. And we do it also by remembering who and what we are. Incarnations of the infinite potential of the universe. Incarnations of that one life. And we do that and we read and we study and we meditate and we know it and we do that until we viscerally have a visceral understanding of it. So it's not just in our heads. We also eliminate the word impossible from our vocabulary. I invite you to do that. Remove the word impossible from your vocabulary. We tell ourselves, when we start telling us ourselves those stories like we don't deserve, or we're never going to be able to, or we don't have, or we're not enough, you say, oh, the big oh with the red circle through it. Oh, that is not a fact. That is fiction. Oh, you're telling me a story that is based on the past, but is not the truth about today and what is possible today. And so we replace that negative thinking with affirmations that are the truth. Things like, I am capable. Will you say that after me? I am capable. I am an expression of pure potential. I am an incarnation of the infinite. I am an outpicturing of boundlessness. I am limitless. I am free. I am living beyond past limits now. We tell ourselves the truth instead of listening to that story that we hear in here. And like I said, reading the inspired writings of people who have seen beyond this physical realm into that infinite presence, we read that stuff because it stirs that inside of us that we already know. It wakes that up so that we can resonate with that. Read the writings of Ernest Holmes and Eric Butterworth and Joel Goldsmith and Emerson and Deepak Chopra and Emmett Fox. And what I love to do is when I read that, I find one idea that really speaks to me, one idea that kind of resonates, and take that one idea into meditation and contemplate that one idea and repeat it to yourself and sit in that until your whole being starts resonating with that truth so that it's not just an idea. Awaken that inside of you. In Revelations 3:20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and eat with them, and they with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. We open ourselves through that contemplation and through that reading and through that meditation and through that prayer so that that one can come in and make home in us and can come forward from our depths and make home in a greater part of ourselves. And so my invitation to you is to affirm the truth when you start telling yourself those stories of limitation. There is no limitation in the divine, and I am the divine here incarnate. Tell yourself the truth. Meditate and read and pray and contemplate that one idea that resonates with you and allow it to make home inside of you. Discover who you are and what you are through that spiritual practice. And then you will really be living beyond limits. And then you'll be living a life of freedom and living the expanded life that you came here on planet Earth to live. And so blessings to every single one of you on this path of your own unfolding and your own ever stepping into your greater yet to be and giving way to your own divine self. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. Oh, and so how good it is to take our attention off of this realm of limitation, this realm of what has already been created, and instead turn our attention and our energy to that infinite realm of the divine. That one presence and that one power and that one field that is everywhere present. For I know that that infinite presence of the one permeates all things. That it is that which is within everything and that which is beyond everything. Before the beginning of time and until the ends of the earth is this one presence of magnificence. This one presence of love and of peace, and of wholeness, and of power, and of pure potential. And it is that presence right now that is expressing itself as the everything. Everything that has ever been and everything that will ever be is this one in form. And so as I recognize that, I know that each and every single one of us in this room, every single one of us everywhere, are one with this presence. For we are incarnations of that one, individuations of the pure potential, the boundlessness, the grace, the glory of that one. And so today we open ourselves to possibility. We open ourselves to that which has never been done, to that which we have never experienced, to that expansion. For I know that those dreams and those longings and those things that are calling us are actually the divine presence within us, beckoning us to step forward, beckoning us to step into and to step up as the light that we are, to expand and to grow and to prosper and to succeed and to be this light in the world. And so I know that every longing that we feel right now is coming into fruition, that something magical is happening and that that presence goes into the world and goes before us and opens the way and makes it plain and smooth and clear, and that we step forward as this magnificence that we are. How good it is to know this. How good it is to marinate in this truth. How good it is to rest in this knowing and then to step forward in confidence. And so it is with that confidence that I release this prayer into the creative womb and the infinite law of this universe, knowing that as it is spoken and as it is claimed, it becomes ours, for it has always been available in potential. And so today we step in and we step up and we step out. And here we are as this magnificence. And so I release this prayer in absolute gratitude, in absolute faith. I release it and I let it be, knowing that it does not return unto us void, but returns unto us fruitful. And so I release this and I let it be. And so it is.